Father, we're thankful for this time tonight. Lord, thankful for the occasion that we have to be gathered in your house and stand before your word. And Lord, I pray that you would bless it, you'd use it and stir our hearts. And we'll thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn over to the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs. And we're in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to begin over there in verse 24. All right, I'll give you a second to get there. All right. Proverbs chapter 11 is right after Proverbs chapter 12, or before chapter 12. After chapter 10. We're continuing our series on wisdom that reaches the world. Missions week 2 is withholding leads to loss. Withholding leads to loss. So chapter 11 and in verse 24, the Bible says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty." Okay, let's start with point number one. God establishes a paradox. A paradox, which is this: increase follows release. Yeah, you're not going to guess that one, girls. Yeah, that's a tough one. Got to have a little play on words to make it. Increase follows release. Okay, hey, God states the paradox explicitly this way. It just as we just read, there is that scattereth, yet increaseth, right? Now, typically, when you think about scattereth, what are you thinking about? Sowing seeds, we think about this. Giving, yeah, giving, okay, missions, it's so good. When we think about it, we think about, you know, scattering it out. You don't think about when I scatter something out that I'm going to get an increase, do I? I don't kind of think of it that way, so it's a paradox. And so, number one, the definition of a paradox is really this: a statement that appears contradictory or illogical at first, but is actually true once you understand the deeper principle behind it. So the paradox is really this: it seems to not make sense. That doesn't seem right. Okay? The more you eat, the skinnier you get. That would be a... Yeah. That is true, but it's the things that you eat that are gross that may... No, anyway, I'm kidding. So there can be a paradox, but the deeper understanding you get to it. Or more simply, a paradox is when something sounds wrong, but it's right. Okay. B, it's this: it looks like a contradiction on the surface, but it reveals a deeper truth. And that's what we're talking about here tonight. Number two under that, scattering normally suggests loss, okay? Scattering normally suggests a loss, okay? But God declares that it produces an increase, okay? This is the thing. When we get something away from us, it normally is a loss. But so here's sometimes where we can... Some of this can get lost on us. We know exactly what it's talking about. And so we know exactly what it's talking about because we have spent time around the Word of God. Okay? But so what we can miss is that it's even a paradox. You're like, well, no, I get that. You know, you scatter seed and it grows more. That obviously makes sense. But what the book of wisdom does, the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, it's giving us some principles to life, right? That maybe, particularly at the time, we have a great advantage. We live in a wonderful day. We live in a day that people don't have a Bible, they have a couple Bibles. You know, I've got my at-home Bible, I've got my carry-to-church Bible, I've got my study Bible, I've got my pocket Bible on my phone, right? I've got, you know, we're in a generation that's just unreal. I mean, amen. Praise the Lord for that. But you got to think about throughout history, throughout majority of history, people haven't had access to the Bible. So we've gotten a lot of things in our life that's so wonderful that we have experienced. But sometimes what we can do is we think we understand it, so we kind of tune things out. Right? So there's kind of, you know, two sides to that coin. I want us to see something here. Number three. I already did number two, right? Yeah, number three. God uses paradox to expose false assumptions. Okay? And so God uses this kind of literary form to expose to us a false assumption. Because a lot of times we have these false assumptions in our life and in our world. Human logic, okay? Human logic assumes, y'all not going to guess this one. Human logic assumes security comes from accumulation, right? No. Human logic says if I have, the more I have stored up, the more secure I am. Is that right? Right? It's like the parable that talks about, he says, you know, I've got, my barns are full, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and so that we can eat, drink, and be merry, right? The Lord said, but for tomorrow you die, right? But tomorrow you'll die and it'll be lost. And so there's this, but there is this human logic that assumes security comes from accumulation. You ever heard this phrase? I know you have heard this phrase, but of course you have. I'm going to save it for a what? For a rainy day, right? I'm going to save it for a rainy day. But we're not thinking about a rainy day. We're really thinking about, that's a euphemism saying I'm saving it for what? When I need it. Sometime down the road, right? And really our idea about that is I'm going to accumulate it for my own. Well, yes, but security. I'm secure there, right? Now, when I have it, and I've got it set up over here, I have it. So, is it wrong to save? No, it's not wrong to say. Should we eat, drink, and be merry? So we kind of get this. We're going to see something here that's going to help us with this in just a moment. But watch here. I want you to see something. B. God teaches that security comes from faith. Okay? Security for the believer doesn't come from accumulation. It comes from faith. That's where our security is. I'll tell you, you know, the thing is, a lot of people thought accumulation was their security until the stock market crashed. Right? And then all of a sudden they realized, my security isn't that in that anymore. And so then they kind of turned to the Lord. B, let me look at this. God assigns the increase, not the scatterer. Okay? I want you to see this. We're not talking about, well, I think it does. Well, you don't, so. This isn't based on what we feel or what we like. Number one over there, this verse does not say that the scatterer creates the increase. No. He doesn't say by you doing it, you're creating the increase. Okay, y'all with me? Look for eyes to come back up here. So, it does not say that the scatterer creates the increase. In other words, by me doing it, I'm not the creator of the increase. You following me?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, number two. The verse says, increase follows the scattering. Okay? So what we see is the increase comes behind the scattering. Right? So, who gives that increase?
The Lord
does. The Lord does. Now, I want you to see. So we see there in number two, it says, the verse says, increase follows the scattering. But not only, not that it follows the scatterer either. Y'all with me? I'm not making this too complicated. Y'all with me? So I want you to get this here. So if I scatter what I have, does the Bible say I'm going to be increased? Doesn't say I'm going to be increased. If I scatter, does the Bible say that I'm creating the increase? No. But what we find here is increase follows the scattering, the action, the activity. So if it doesn't say I'm getting the increase, why would I want to scatter? Okay. Well, now we're talking about a different issue altogether. So here's the point. What is increasing by the scattering? Well, it's this. It's the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that increases. It's not necessary. So sometimes we get a little mixed up on it. So we have the human logic gets messed up. But can I say, sometimes Christian logic also gets messed up? We can get this idea that says this. The more I give, the more I get. So if I give more, I'm going to get more. Is that what that says? No, that's not what it says, is it? So I'm just going to give. And I've heard phrases like this. You can't outgive God, right? That sounds pretty spiritual, doesn't it? Doesn't it? It sounds like, man, that sounds like a good, and I've heard this my whole Christian life. You can't outgive God, and we use that phrase sometimes around missions giving. You can't outgive God. If whatever God gives you, God's going to return it to you, you know, sevenfold or twofold or a hundredfold or whatever. Listen, I want us to get rid of some of that false thinking, that false philosophy. We don't give so that we can get. Man, how greedy is that, right? I'm going to give so I can get something back. The Bible talks about, in other words, if you love, it kind of uses this kind of concept, this principle. You know, even the world loves those that love them, right? If all we do, and that's where Jesus said we're to love our, what? Well, our neighbors, but who else? Our enemies. Yeah, I love your enemy. Loving our neighbors, that's maybe. But loving my enemies, that is not human nature. So what we get on this thing is the verse is saying this, increase follows the action of scattering. It's not necessary that when I scatter it out, the increase is going to come back to me. It's the increase is going to, it's going to come to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God in that sense. Okay, but A, under that, God still remains the source of all increase. God is still the source. Still not me, right? Still not me. B, man remains the steward of what is put in his hand. It's kind of like this. If I have a pen, and I said, John, can you hold that for me? And then he's holding that for me. Whose pen is that? Still mine. And I say, hey, could you give it to D there? Could you give it to... So now, he's getting... What did he do? He just scattered it, right? If I had gave him a handful of pens and he gave them all out, I'm like, and you know what he could say? Look what I did. I gave her a pen. Man, I really did pretty good, so I ought to get a blessing for giving out the pens, right? But they're not. It's not his. It's mine. He's the steward of it. So if I give something, let me fix it. If God gives something into my hand, or into my wallet, however, or into digits on a banking account somewhere, right? If God gives something into my hand and I scatter it out to others, I'm not the creator of the increase. I'm just the steward. I'm the steward of what God gave me. And God is still the source of the increase. It's still Him. So I want us to understand that, folks. I hope we do. I hope we do understand that. That we don't give to get. And you're never going to hear me say something about, if you'll just give more, God will bless you more. Sometimes we get messed. Now, God, don't miss this thing. God does say, prove me there herewith if I will not open the windows of heaven. So I'm about to tie. God has some principles there. When I'm saying I'm not going to say it, I'm not going to try to pressure us to give with promises that if you give, God's going to bless you. Come on. God loveth a cheerful giver, but I'm telling you, God doesn't always give back to us. I think about the, and this is a little bit different thought, but it's just something I go to. I think about the children in the desert, children of Israel in the desert. Remember how long they were wandering around the desert? 5, 10 years? 40 years. Every now, I'm sure occasionally they stopped off at Walmart, right? Or they set up, a workshop real quick, right? No. And I'm sure there was some times along, and that was facetious. I'm sure there was times along the way they bartered some things, this and that. But it's projected that there's probably about 1 million people. Could you imagine outfitting 1 million people in that day? I mean, outfitting 1 million people today would take China. Yeah, I'll get that later. So I'm just saying it would take some. So God did something. God blessed them not with. Necessarily, sometimes God did give them something, but sometimes God blessed them with sustainability of what they did have. Of course, He also gave them manna from heaven. It rained food every day. I mean, is God able to take care of us? Yeah, of course He is. Of course He is. So I want us to look at this seed. The Lord contrasts this thing. With withholding, okay? The increasing with withholding. So, number one, withholding is defined as keeping what should be released. Okay? Okay. So, is it okay to keep stuff? To save? Or should I give away everything I have every week? My paycheck's done. I've paid my bills. I've given my tithe. I should give the rest of it away. Is that what the scripture says? Let's read it again. Chapter 11, verse 24. There is that scattereth. Amen. And yet increaseth. And there is that, look what it says here, that withholdeth more than is meet. See how it qualifies this? He doesn't say he that withholds. He said he that withholds more than is meet. Okay, so God calls this more than is meat. Okay, A under that. There is a God-defined measure of proper holding. Okay? Because He says here, there's more than is meat. Beyond that measure, B under that, beyond that measure, holding becomes sin. Okay. So, what we find here is he talks about it in verse 24. There is that withholding more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. So we're talking about, see the contrast here. Scattering and increasing. Withholding and turning into poverty. See how they're both kind of a paradox. They're both... It should be the other way around. If you scatter out your stuff, you tend to poverty. And if you hold your stuff, you're going to intend to increase. You know, that's kind of the thing. If more comes in, you'd save it. But there's this thing beyond that measure of that which is meat. Or rather, more than is meat. We'll get to that in just a second here. But Roman numeral 2. God defines withholding as a heart posture, not a financial state. Okay? So, when we talk about this thing of withholding, under there. Withholding is not about having little, but about refusing release. Okay, let me clarify that. But refusing release. Does God want us to be poor?
I would hope not.
We don't find that scripturally. We don't find anywhere where God says you need to be poor. Okay, so the withholding isn't about being poor, or I need to give it out until I'm poor. That's not what he's talking about here. So that the idea of withholding isn't about being poor, but it's about this. It's not a financial state. It's a heart posture, and the posture is this: is refusing to release any. Now, folks, before we, let me just say this here, in the midst of this right here. This, and I hate doing this because, let me give you a little backstory. My pastor used to, many years ago, I mean, when I was first there, my pastor would preach a message. He would preach this hard message, and it was awesome. I'm like, man, that's exactly what this church needed. And then he would say this, right after he'd say this, but none of you are doing that. You're all good here. And I'd just be like, oh, man, you nailed it right there. And then you took the hammer and pulled the nail out, and you threw the nail away and said, no, but you're good. And it would always irritate me. He'd do that all the time. I'd just think, and he'd preach a salvation message, and then he'd come back, but y'all are all fine. but I'm going to do that. So I kind of understand a little bit more. And maybe I understand a little bit more because I've come to a different place in my life of realizing you can't just beat people up because people get confused with that. This is a church. This is a giving church. This has always been a giving church. And so sometimes when we're already a giving person and it already scatters and you're like, man, am I supposed to just... Am I supposed to be poor? I think the only way the pastor's going to be happy is if I'm poor. I don't want us to get that. I don't want us to get that concept. This is a giving church. What I want us to do is get wisdom. The wisdom from the Word of God that we can pass on and we can live it out. What does God want us to do? This is the truth in the Proverbs. The Proverbs weren't always correction. You understand what I'm saying? The Proverbs are not always about correction. Sometimes the Proverbs are about here's how to live. Not what you're doing is wrong, but here's how to do it right. Make sense? Okay, so withholding is not about having little, but about refusing release. Number one, the verse does not say there is that cannot scatter. Okay? It doesn't say there is those that cannot scatter. That's not what it's saying. Number two, it says there is that with holdeth. He's talking about a certain kind of people that withhold from God. Okay? A, withholding is active. Withholding is active. It's an action. Okay? It's not something that just didn't... It's B, withholding is a choice. Okay? So, we get to this. I want to talk about this just for a minute, this part. B, more than is meat. He talks about that. It reveals kind of a moral standard. Meat refers to what is appropriate in God's order. So, how much is appropriate to withhold? Okay. It's not a number, it's a heart issue, right? So, A, under that, God, not man, defines what is appropriate. I can remember when I first got saved and we're having a missions conference, I asked my pastor, how much should I give? And everybody's putting marking on their card how much they're going to give for faith, promise, missions, giving. And I said, Pastor, how much should I give? And he said, well, you know, you got to pray about it and seek the Lord and what he wants you to do. I said, okay, well, I don't really know how to do that. So what do people that are making what I'm making, what do they give? He would not tell me. Man, he frustrated me. Like, just tell me. You know, I couldn't look at records. I want to look at records. What do other people give, you know? And he wouldn't tell me, you know. You know what? He got this truth that I'm talking about. It's God, not man, that defines what is appropriate. Appropriate, this isn't like a number, what's appropriate. It's an attitude. B, comfort does not define it. It's not what makes me comfortable. By the way, it's not also to where I got to be uncomfortable for that to be, right? So it's none of those things. Well, if I'm comfortable, I'm keeping too much. No, don't get into that kind of trap. Because it's the same trap. It's the same trap. The trap that says, well, I still need to be comfortable. I got to have a nest egg in case something happens. Well, that's not faith. But the other side that says, if I'm not uncomfortable, I'm not doing enough. Come on. Both is still about the flesh, isn't it? It's a pendulum that swings it on both sides. So you're like, well, Pastor, how much? See, wouldn't you like me to give you that answer? I wish my pastor would have too. But the reason he didn't, because there isn't one. There's not a number. It's about the issue of the heart. See, and I put culture does not define it. Well, on that day it was different. Come on, it's about a heart issue. See, God therefore evaluates faith and obedience, not amount. Not amount. God is looking for faith from us. Number one, a poor man may obey fully, right? And while a rich man may resist fully. It's not about wealth. It's not about wealth. So, Roman numeral 3. God uses release as the means of advancing His work. So, God uses this. That's how... So, A. God's work requires movement. Okay. In other words, we don't keep the seed in the bag. We can't keep our money in the bag and see God's work go forward. Or in the bag or in the bank account or under the mattress. Does anybody put money on the mattress anymore? I don't think anybody does that anymore. I'm just seeing who got... No, I'm just kidding. It's this here. Number one, truth must be carried. Truth must be carried. And then number two, the gospel must be delivered. So B, then, release creates that movement, okay? When we release, okay, when we release it and we scatter it, right, it creates that movement. Number one, release resources travel around the world. Released resources travel around the world. You know the thing about sending money around the world, when we send money to missionaries, it doesn't numerically help our church. Directly, right? It's not like, man, if we support this missionary, man, this is going to be great to have this family in our church. Wouldn't it be great if we could buy church families? You know, if we give you $150 a month, would you come to a church every Sunday? That'd be awesome, you know? I mean... Good God, the people that are going to serve the Lord, we could just buy our way into having a church of 150 people, right? Doesn't work that way. When I'm saying that'd be neat, I'm just being facetious here. Release resources travel around the world. Two, release people go around the globe, okay? So there's two things that we do. We talk about releasing money, but I'm telling you, we got to do something that's really hard for pastors to do. And that's release people. You know what kind of people you release? You don't release the people that are already giving you a headache. Those are the easy ones, right? Pastor, I'm not coming back to this church again. Oh, no, really? I'm sorry to hear that. You know what I mean? Not those people. It's the people that come up and they say, Pastor, I've been praying about this. And we've been... You notice we've been at the altar, we've been with our family, and God has just burdened us to go into the ministry, take the gospel to the most parts of the world. And you know, the pastor wants to say, I don't know about that. You should pray about that for about 2-3 more years, right? Releasing people. We got to release people, though. Got to release people if we're going to see people go around the world and take the gospel. Right? We got to release resources. I'll tell you, one of the most dangerous things a person can do is say about their kids or their grandkids, I want to keep them here with me. I don't want them to go into dangerous parts of the world. What a tragedy that would be. Withholding halts that movement. It halts that movement. Number one, withheld resources do not reach others. And number two, likewise, withheld lives do not reach others also. And there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Poverty that tendeth to, in this verse, in this aspect, means those without Christ will usually remain without Christ. And that's when we withhold what, in this aspect that we're talking about, in this principle. Proverbs are principles. It's not a, if you do this, this happens. It's this is the principle. When we scatter what God's given us, scatter it, we share it, we spread it out. It increases. It leads to an increase. And when we withhold, it leads to poverty. It goes down that direction of poverty. Thankfully, little as much when God is in it. Most churches and most believers today don't live a scattering life. But the good thing is, the handful that will, God does much with it. And so praise the Lord for that. You know, God teaches that trust leads to release. And God also teaches us here that release leads to an increase. And God advances His purpose through willing stewards. We talked about that Sunday. God doesn't force. He's looking for willingness. God loveth a cheerful giver, one that has, when the heart is in it, I think it goes further than when it's a, okay. we ought to have released it before we write the check, or before we, whatever, you know what I'm saying, some that write checks, but God will use that, and this is what it's about. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? Bit of a paradox, but does it ever come back to us? Yes. We're setting up treasures in heaven. You can't put a gold bar in the coffin with you. I mean, you could. You're going to get a grave robber if anybody finds out you're doing that. A $100 bill in the grave ain't going to help you none. The only way to send it ahead is what we're talking about. And living it and sending it. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this time tonight. Thank you for the occasion that you give us. Lord, you help us to understand this wisdom. And Lord, sometimes we lean so heavily on our own thinking, on our own logic. And yet, Lord, you've given us these truths to help us to guide and to shape our thinking. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to get mixed up on this, Lord. There's a ditch on both sides of that road. And Lord, we want to be in the place that pleases you and not leaning on our flesh, either by withholding more than is meet or by broadcasting what we're doing. Lord, either way, Lord, I pray that you just do a work in our hearts. Lord, help us to do that which is a willing steward that blesses what you're trying to do, and Lord, we can be excited behind that. Well, thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pray one for another.